Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Killed on the Glass, which is a place they're getting killed in almost every game. They're a terrible rebounding basketball team, and it's going to be... Here's the thing. It's hard to preach defense, defense, defense if there's no reward. And the reward of defense is a defensive rebound that you're now breaking in the other direction. You're not getting rebounds. Your defense is being played in vain. So you got to grab some rebounds. They didn't do that last night. The Warriors, even though they never looked crisp, were in that game until Kerr made his first wave of substitutes at that four-minute mark of the first quarter. Looney and Pascal come on in, and boom, it's a Nuggets 14-3 run. And it was playing catch-up on a night where the basketball was sloppy, and it's hard to catch up while you're playing sloppy basketball. They still made it an argument, but then again, Kerr goes to late quarter substitutions, another pull-away moment. The Warriors bench failed them a little bit last night. A lot of Golden State Warriors failed the Golden State Warriors winning formula last night. Curry, obviously, not among them. And I will say this, looking for just moments along the way, James Wiseman's dunk over Bol Bol last night was just unbelievable. Like, this guy... It doesn't matter if the Warriors are winning or losing, as long as he stays developing. And I thought Wiseman, with a real tough challenge in front of him and not a lot of help bailing him out, had a pretty good game, all things considered. The Warriors didn't. He did.
What, though? That rebounding problem that you're talking about is partially a James Wiseman problem. Because as much as his athleticism is impressive and he seems to get to everything, he's had trouble with the hands. The hands have not been great early. Like, he's kicked some passes off the heel of his palm. He's, you know, tapped rebounds that you'd think he should have grabbed out of bounds or to the other team. Like, that's something that needs to improve, and I expect that it will. But because to me, all of his mistakes seem born of a level of, like, spasticness, and like Ray has talked about a few times, still not having the speed of the game quite adjusted, and that makes total sense.
Yeah, he looks like a colt learning to walk.
Yeah.
I mean, it's something that colts eventually learn how to walk and then to run. But for right now, he's about where he ought to be, given all the things he's got to absorb, knowing how little he's played competitive basketball in his life.
Look, the training wheels are very much still on. They will be taken off at some point in time this year, and that's when the real, all right, what are you criticizing tonight, will mean a little bit more than it does right now. Still very good.
He did get 27 minutes, though, right?
Yeah.
So we're at least saying a willingness to play him more.
Hey, if you told me tonight job one is not fouling out almost instantly against Joker, I would have told you, all right, that's part of the success story. If you can play against him without almost instantly fouling out, that's a step forward. The kid is taking baby steps forward. There's still training wheels on him. You're right. The hands do need to get better. There's a lot of guys on this team whose hands need to get better. By the way, how about this? I just saw something, and normally, guys, when we see something like this, we like to pass it amongst each other before the show starts, but I saw this just as we were dialing up and coming on the air. Black Sports Online, our friend Robert Latall, has offered up what I think is the most reasonable explanation to why Kelly Oubre Jr. just looks uncomfortable. Apparently,
it was a TMZ report a couple hours ago. Yeah.
Yeah. I just saw this. Apparently, he has an ex-girlfriend making his life a personal hell with all sorts of blackmail threats. She has stolen his French bulldog or won't give it back. But it seems like there is a little trouble, personal trouble in Kelly Oubre Jr.'s life right now. And I'm not saying that that is a good thing in any way, but offered up as a reason to explain an inexplicable slow start, I'm going to hedge and say it's almost good news that this is happening, because we finally have a reason why a young man may be all scrambled up. It's really weird, and we'll share with you some details that have been shared on TMZ, picked up by our man Robert Latall. So, you know, half the problems in the NBA, we've been told, either come from gambling, girls, or money owed. Well, it looks like girl might be involved in some of the problems Kelly Oubre Jr. has early on in this year, and we'll give you those details in just a little bit, as ugly as they may be. Speaking of ugly, Draymond Green's offensive game is either ugly or not there to begin with, and he needs to do something about that. You know, he talks about a considerable basketball IQ. Well, it's time he applied some of that to just hitting layups, man. I think he's got to get a little bit more involved. Again, we're not at the let's have an intervention with Draymond. There is no crisis point anywhere on the radar. But not to satisfy the TNT crowd, not to satisfy Twitter, not to satisfy the quelling of criticism, just to help his own team, I think Draymond needs to get into the scoring column a little bit more than he is willing to do early on in the year. We'll have some numbers on that. And we are really happy to have you here on a Friday afternoon. Okolsky's Corner today. That's always a good time. We're going to do that at 5 o'clock this afternoon. Like I said, our pal Nick Wright's coming on by around 3 o'clock. Our friend Sean Salisbury is going to join us in about 20 minutes from right now to talk about the coming NFL playoffs this weekend and the latest on Deshaun. And since he lives in Houston, what is life like now that dawn's break in Houston with no James Harden walking out of a strip club right around the same time? So we got an awful lot to get into today, and we look forward to you being a part of it. Damon Ratto and Kolsky here on 95.7 The Game. We're brought to you by Outdoor Supply Hardware. Osh's newest location in Millbrae is hiring full-time, part-time career positions. Osh offers great benefits, flexible schedules, and generous employee discounts. Visit osh.com/careers today. That is osh.com/careers. We are underway. Damon Ratto and Kolsky, 95.7 The Game.
Damon Ratto and Kolsky continues on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome, welcome. Let's start with a correction, because the attempt of this show is to get it right, even linguistically. And the 510 ombudsman says the word you're looking for is elevation. It's not altitude. The Warriors did not play that game inside of a plane flying around last night. Yes, correct. That is correct. Altitude is what happens when you're in an airplane and you're above the ground. Elevation is the ground that you're standing on while you're still on the ground. So, yes, elevation, not altitude sickness, but whatever it was. I mean, no matter what you want to call it, it looked like it got to the Warriors last night. And it might not just be that, even though James Wiseman said, you know, he was having trouble filling his lungs early on, more trouble than he normally does. It was a night where the effort didn't just look a little slow physically. It was the choices being made. They looked mentally slower than the Nuggets were moving last night. And that was, again, it was one of the more, I'm not concerned, but it was one of the more disappointing, I guess, losses, because you walk away from Warrior games that they lose these days, and it's never a question of effort. The effort was off last night. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, most of their other losses have been mostly precision losses. I mean, they're 27th in turnovers committed, which is a sign that they don't know where each other is supposed to be at any given moment all the time. They're not a gr- They're not a great rebounding team. They give up almost 50 a game to the opponent. So they're getting bullied under the boards. I mean, there are just things that they're not able to do yet. And last night was one of the first times that I saw them sort of give in to those things. I mean, even when they were getting blown out early, those looked more like errors of omission than commission. Last night, they looked flat. And I don't know, it's not a precise word, but they did not look fully engaged. I don't know why. Maybe they were thinking about the fact that the game tonight's been postponed by COVID, and maybe that's preying on their mind. We can make up 100 excuses, but they were not the better team really at any point last night and got what they deserved.
Well, yeah, I mean, you're right that they weren't the better team at any point. At the same time, they were pretty much the same team for three quarters. You know, there was a lapse, and it was a noticeable defensive lapse. I mean, Bob and Kalena were talking about it on the broadcast. It was like a layup line for the Nuggets for about 5 minutes. And that, more than anything to me, was the stretch of the game where it just looked like they were not engaged.
Draymond getting blown by on picks, on dribble drives. Like, right there is the first sign that something's wrong tonight, right? I mean, when Draymond's not moving his feet crisply defensively, you know you're in for one right there. And he wasn't last night. I mean, I read Anthony Slater's Athletic write-up today, and he'll insert some video clips to kind of say, look at this moment. This is what we're talking about. And there were some moments last night that, again, I even kind of missed him in real time as I was watching. But you go back and you rewatch some of those less than dialed in moments from Draymond last night, it's not hard to understand why the Warriors are hanging out in a hotel room pondering a loss this weekend. Again, they don't have another game until Monday, Martin Luther King Day, and they're playing the Lakers. So their reward for looking out of sorts last night is a date with the Lakers. Who
are we sure they didn't come home? Just
I don't know. Maybe they did.
I would imagine
the metaphorical hotel, if you will.
Right.
I really don't know if they're back from the road or not. But
the home hotel.
The home hotel, exactly. Hotel California. Wherever
they're
that might be.
They're still stuck inside.
Look, they got to get right if they got any shot to even be in a shouting match with the Lakers. I mean, that's kind of who the Lakers are right now. And the Warriors are still very much a team in progress with a lot of room for growing pains.
Here's what I would say quickly, though, if you want the positive perspective, or at least the world is not burning perspective. It wasn't that long ago that we were talking about it would take a couple months for this thing to really come together. And it came together for some games in a way that was exciting and that showed us how it might work in a way to make them pretty competitive. But that doesn't mean you're not going to still have lapses. I don't think the stuff we're saying today is anything the Warriors don't already know. That the individuals involved don't already, right? So this is just still, I think, at least if you want to view it from a positive perspective, this is part of the learning process still.
Hey, they were asked about I'm sorry, Ray. They were asked last night. Here's Steph Curry just talking about the fact that he was sloppy with the ball. The entire team was sloppy and off last night. They knew it right away.
I think three of mine were just god awful in terms of, you know, that launch pass to Kelly. He wasn't even looking at me. I threw it. I tried to dribble through seven guys and got it stolen, and then offensive foul and I pushed off. So like three of them right there are just ones that I can eliminate immediately. But as a team, I think we just have to really commit to making the easy pass, and that comes with flow of moving, you know, moving our bodies in the right timing so that the open pass actually, you know, shows itself. I think early, like I said, we got stagnant a little bit on offense, and that's where you start to try to do too much and drive in the crowds, and you don't have your right spacing, and there is no kind of clear look of who to throw it to. So that's where we get in trouble when we're not executing right.
19 turnovers last night, Ray, by the Warriors.
Yeah, like I said, their turnover number has been high all year, in part because they still don't know each other. Also, Curry is prone to that because he does on occasion, although I don't know that he did this last night, try to make the A++ pass instead of the A pass. But mostly this is what people should expect from a team which is basically still largely strangers. And I don't mean that every game is going to look like this, but you're not going to know from night to night what you're getting out of them for, I would guess, at least another 20 games, which gets them almost to the break.
We've got Sean Salisbury joining us coming up at the bottom of the hour. We're going to hop into the NFL, the latest on how unhappy Deshaun Watson seems to be letting the world know he is in Houston right now. And that is interesting. When we had Sean on last week to talk about it, he didn't even want to hear it. Well, I'm sure he's hearing it now. There are legitimate Deshaun Watson trade block rumors coming out of Houston. We're going to talk with Sean about that in just a little bit. But as we were saying, TMZ, Black Sports Online, our pal Robert Latall has a story that maybe goes further to explain Kelly Oubre's slow start than anything else, because nothing about his start makes sense. It really doesn't. We know he's better. We know his effort should be there. Why are things just not going for him? Well, says right here that Kelly Oubre, former first-round draft pick, claims that his ex, her name is McKenna Leduff. Leduff. That is French for the Duff. She contacted him on January 11th, which was, what, Monday this week? This week, right? Yeah. So
Monday.
She contacted him on Monday and demanded a large sum of money or she will retaliate against him. She demanded that Oubre pay her nearly $3 million or she would make public her false, looking to exploit him, allegations. I don't even know what the false allegations that she was about to make entailed, but apparently there's a lawsuit out there. The suit claims that she contacted Oubre and threatened that she was going to engage or that he was engaged in quote unquote criminal conduct and make other false allegations about his reputation, all crafted to cause maximum and irreparable harm to Kelly, his reputation, and his career. Again, this isn't just hearsay. This is now in a lawsuit being filed by Oubre's lawyers against this woman who looks like she was trying to exploit him. McKenna posted a photo on her Instagram account where she intimated that she would take physical action against Kelly, Kelly's friends, or anyone else that tried to enter her house to help Kelly retrieve his things. Among these things are a couple of stolen dogs. When someone takes kids or dogs and uses them as leverage in a divorce or a breakup, right there, the person that does that has the, you're on the low road. Like, I'm on the other person's side on that alone. And look, it there's a lot of people pointing and laughing at this and going, ha ha ha, those are the trappings of fame. This is what Instagram models do. It's not funny. It's obviously to the point where lawyers are now involved real, and this guy's obviously got a personal problem. So maybe that goes to explain why he has looked out of sorts, because a very big corner of his personal life has fallen out of sorts.
Well, the question I would have, and I don't know the answer to this, so it's very open-ended, is if it's the cause for how he's played so far, and I mean, look, mostly what this has been is his shot hasn't been there, because I think for the most part he has put in effort. If it's that big of a problem, I wonder why the Warriors haven't offered him, if they have, offered him sort of a leave of absence to take care of this. That's not unusual in any sport now. You know, you get personal time off if you have a crisis like this seems to be. So, you know, I think the question now becomes, do the Warriors think it, do Oubre or the Warriors think it's serious enough to do that? And if they don't, they'd better say this is not a cause, because, you know, if it's dogging him that much, I don't know that he should be playing basketball right now.
I think that's insanely presumptuous about so many things. I have no
idea.
Oh,
yeah. I mean,
like,
I'm just suggesting if this
business,
is an issue.
Really, and I don't think the Warriors have to say anything about it, nor does Kelly Oubre. Is it something to think about, like, as a guy who clearly is having issues on the court that seem mental? Yeah, like this is, you know, since we know it, I guess that's something to say, you know, perhaps that's part of him struggling this year. Again, because his struggles are so clearly mental as opposed to physical, there are some dots to connect there. But at the same time, like, I don't know. This is the sort of thing I almost wish I didn't know.
Right. No, look, it's one of those, you can't point at it and say it causes anything. You can suspect it correlates with problems that you're seeing.
Right.
It's the whole, like, you know, do you believe to be a fully functioning, successful, healthy, happy person, all your chakras need to be aligned?
Totally.
You know, this is clearly a chakra that's out of alignment, you know, and for a guy who is experiencing an inexplicably difficult moment in his career, maybe an inexplicably difficult moment in his personal life has something to do with it. Again, I hope it's resolved. This is what lawyers and adults in the room are paid to do. This is why you give an agent 10%. Like, there are people built into Kelly Oubre's life to shelter him enough from this, you would hope. Unless,
well,
of course,
he seems to have the legal representation, right? I mean, like, this is all coming from a lawsuit he has filed, so.
Right. Who knows? Who the hell
knows?
But, okay. Like, I could see how something like being extorted, blackmailed by a person that you deeply trusted and then felt betrayed by would creep into the rest of your day. I mean, it's the show hates excuses. We don't endorse excuses, but when a decent one comes up, we can't help but acknowledge it and look at it and salute it. By the way, this show is anti-nickname, unless it's a really good one. Mike Wise has offered up some interesting nicknames about the team coming together in Brooklyn. KD, Harden, and Kyrie, possible big three nicknames. The Three Enigmas, the Feared, the Beard, and the Weird. Brooklyn Mine, to talk about how selfish they might be. The Foundation, the Unshaven, and the Misbehaving. I don't even know who applies to what in some of those. So let's go to a man who isn't here to talk about nicknames, but might be here to talk about Deshaun Watson, which the last time we were talking to Sean Salisbury, Sean, you rejected the notion that he might be looking at his name on the trading block. And that was a few days ago where this was just a rumor. A rumor has become something real, I guess, with him tweeting, like, I was on a 2, but now I'm on 10. I'm very angry with the franchise. It looks like they promised him he would be part of important front office conversations, yet he was still left out of all the reindeer games. So a very interesting moment in time. Sean, thanks for joining us here as always on Damon Ratto and Kolsky. And we got an NFL playoff slate to talk about. But what's the latest with Deshaun and the Texans?
Well, a lot, obviously, to talk about. He's still not getting traded. That I could just tell you that now. They don't have enough to trade him unless Cal needs to be in the insanity program, meaning the owner. It's not going to happen. I'm sure Deshaun's upset. McNair apologized today about any miscommunication. Now he's going to have to do more than apologize and sit Deshaun down. Said he didn't mean to create any trust issues here with players or coaches or media. So he's trying to bridge this, and he said he's going to let Deshaun have input now on the head coach. He's going to make sure when he meets him. So I don't read into cryptic tweets. I don't know if it's music lyrics. I don't know. I mean, to me, from a 2 to a 10, what's that mean? I mean,
it means I was calm about something. I'm not calm about it anymore.
And I went to a 10. Right. And that's okay. I mean, he doesn't have to be calm. The one thing about it is he doesn't. Listen, you guys know how I feel about Watson. I think he is, aside from Mahomes, the best guy in the league to build a team around, period. And I think he's a wonderful human being. But what we have to keep in mind here is, well, he doesn't control this. I mean, if you really get down to it, he doesn't control. What's the worst thing he can do? Say, I'm not going to show up. And we've never seen that happen. Quarterbacks don't hold out. He is a man of character, a man of competition and competitiveness. I think a lot of this is going to slow down when they hire the coach and when Nick Caserio gets to sit down with him. Of course he's frustrated. A lot of athletes get frustrated in the offseason. So 2 to 10, I know what that means as far as on the scale of ramping up your heat, but to me it's a cryptic tweet. If he was a free agent, we could worry. If he was an average player, we'd worry. Unless somebody comes up with a package that's so blatantly out of this world, you're not going to trade the guy that GMs, coaches, and owners spend their entire careers looking for. He will not be a distraction or a disruption. That's not in his personality. It's okay to be frustrated. It's January. Get the right coach, and Deshaun Watson's not going anywhere. I know people in 31 or 28 other cities are excited about maybe. It isn't going to happen. He's going to be the quarterback unless something crazy goes. And now there's talk that Easterby may not be here. I heard Peter King mention that on WEEI, I think it was yesterday. So, you know, Deshaun will get his way for the most part, but the city's going to get its way too after what happened with Hopkins. We're not trading. This town's not trading him anywhere. There's not enough assets to go around to get Watson in somebody's city.
As you explain it, it all seems seamless except for the part where Cal McNair might be crazy. Do we know enough about him? Because he's sort of been in charge of this team a relatively short time. Do we know enough about him to make assumptions about whether he could get his back up and say, I've had enough, get rid of him?
No, Ray, you're 100% correct. That's the only wild card in this. It's not, can we calm Watson down on the rest of it? It's, I'm hoping, and I think everybody is, that after what they've seen with Harden and the Rockets and with DeAndre Hopkins in this city, that there's not enough insanity for him to say, well, this is really good for the franchise, because there's not a soul that endorses Watson leaving this town, and nor has anybody in the Texans said, yep, we're looking to trade him. They keep saying he's our quarterback. Now, I guess everything's negotiable. If you give him 5 number ones and 2 players, like a Herschel Walker gig or 11 guys, I guess you'd listen and take it. But no, Ray, you make a great point. Now, listen, he's made enough bad decisions and lost enough trust for us to wonder, well, maybe Cal would do something this insane. But I got to believe that he'd look at this and when he's sitting around by himself and say, you know what? I can't fathom that this would be the thing that I need to do. Let me work this out. Throw a little honey on it, not vinegar. I'm assuming he's smart enough to do that. That is the wild card, but I think a real, real, real big, long, distant wild card, Ray.
Sort of in that vein, if it comes down to a decision between Watson and Jack Easterby, do you have confidence that that'll go in Watson's favor?
No, not with it go in Watson's favor with the 7 million people here and coaching staff and other players. But Cal McNair, for some reason, has not made any move on that yet. We'll call him a character coach and the number one, and I don't know Jack Easterby. I don't know him personally. Only go by what you read here and what people say is that some like him in his past and some say he's got a bit of a wolf in sheep's clothing, as we've heard and read and listened to. So the thing about the whole thing, and here's the sad part, the owner's the last guy I want making a decision. And unfortunately, he's the one who signs the paychecks right now. So that part concerns a lot of people. Jack Easterby concerns people. But if Nick Caserio has the power we think he does because of the money he's being paid, then maybe this will happen. If it came down to it's either me or him, I think the groundswell will be so big Watson won't lose that. I don't know if it'll ever get to that. But I don't know if Cal's ever going to move on from him. There's some who think he is, but Jack Easterby's got a lot of fixing himself to do because he's the least trusted guy in the building, and that's saying something. I'm talking about by this city, maybe even more so than Cal McNair. Now, Cal concerns me the most, but Jack Easterby somehow has Cal's ear, but he's not going to win that battle. If it was a me or him, I can't – because Jack Easterby's not throwing one pass this year, and he's not going to help anybody win. He's not going to make a personnel decision. So he'd be the guy to go, and some think he'll be gone before the season starts.
Our pal Sean Salisbury joining us here on 95.7 The Game, talking about off-field rumors. Let's talk about on-field competition, because we got a divisional round, and man, Baker Mayfield versus Patrick Mahomes is going to be a very interesting game. The Chiefs have scored 30 in every single playoff game, 30 or more. that Mahomes has started for their franchise. The Browns have been a fascinating team all year. They got a gift from the football gods against the Steelers to finally, you know, get a big win over a team that might be better than them. But their season is dotted with success and failure against better teams. What part of the Browns needs to answer the bell more? The offense to keep up with the pinball of the Kansas City Chiefs, or the defense to just slow their game of pinball down?
Well, this will be a huge challenge. And, you know, they took care of Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh wasn't ready to play. And Cleveland, despite all the COVID problems and the head coach, you know, finally is trying to establish an identity that they haven't had in two decades. And they're running the ball. They're physical. They can get after it with their pass rush. This is a daunting task. Pat Mahomes, if you don't score 30, you're not even close in the game. It really doesn't matter, as you mentioned, the numbers. It really doesn't matter because the Chiefs can probably score 30 this week playing average football. And I think they can do that against most defenses. I honestly believe that. And we've seen them kind of up and down and still find ways to win. I think it's you're going to realize you're going to have to match them touchdown for touchdown. If you go kick three field goals in the game, you're probably not going to win. You do got to come away with points, but and I don't buy into the just run the football 50 times and don't throw it, kill the clock, don't give Mahomes. That's not rational, because at some of those you're going to go three and out, and then that they're going to turn it into points. So while it is a daunting task, they do have a chance. I mean, they're here, and they've got to prove that they can handle a big team like that on the road. Kansas City's better than Pittsburgh the way Pittsburgh's been playing the last 6 weeks, but they can run it physically now. They can wear you out up front. I think they got to get a little bit of a short field, the defense, a strip sack fumble. I'm not sure that they can go toe-to-toe, and if they say it's going to be 41-38, I don't know if they can keep up in one of those. Now, you could score on Kansas City's defense too, but I just think that 35 points may not be enough in the game, and I'm not sure they can throw 40 on Kansas City. If they do, that means Kansas City's going up and down the field as well, moving the football. So I like Kansas City in the game, but I said Cleveland was a playoff team all year long. I think Baker Mayfield's starting to get it, and they're starting to put it together, and they're doing less talking and a lot more playing. If I was Kansas City, I wouldn't think too much about Baltimore or Buffalo just yet. I would imagine you got to get through this, because they can run the football and they will knock you around up front.
People, to move to another game, people have been talking about Breeze v. Brady just inexhaustively, to the point where I'm ready to sell my ears to somebody else. But do you see that game as a similar kind of shootout because of the quarterbacks? Or do you see this as a very close to the vest, low scoring game because New Orleans has one of the best defenses in football, and Tampa's defense has gotten better as the year gone on?
Yeah, and Tampa's defense is capable of doing what they did to Aaron Rodgers, which was maybe their best game, and Aaron Rodgers maybe worst of his career, at least one of them. I don't think this is going to be like the Cleveland-Kansas City. Now, indoors, no inclement weather, that obviously could have a say in it. When you get, while old quarterbacks, they're accurate and they know how to win and they both know what January is about. But I've said, listen, and I was on a show in New Orleans about a week and a half ago, that for the first time in I don't know how long, we're not talking about, man, if the Saints offense takes them to a Super Bowl. I think it's their defense that's going to have to get them to February if they're going to get there. And if Brady's jersey's clean in this game, and they haven't been able to figure the Saints out, two times they've been pushed around a little bit by the Saints. It's very difficult, as we know, to win three times in a row against a team in the same season. And I would imagine it's even twice as difficult to do it against Tom Brady. I think Bruce Arians has to be wise in this and not put Brady back there and that deep pushing the ball down the field on a consistent basis and allow Brady to possibly hold it too long and take some hits and tip balls. I think that they got to play a little bit of New Orleans game, sideways, old school. I would do a lot of motion so I can dictate the pre-snap coverage, which Brady likes to do. It's a game plan that I think Bruce Arians needs to make. But I think this is going to be lower scoring than most think, because I think the defenses can force some turnovers, and both of them, if they're playing their best, can be nasty. And we know neither one of these quarterbacks can move. So if you can keep them in there and deliver some upfront in-your-face pressure, they're not going to extend plays on the east-west escape. So I think it's lower scoring, but I'm taking Tampa. I think that Drew Brees is playing his last game, and it's been a hell of a career. I think that next week's game with Green Bay, and Tampa's going to be something that we're going to be really, really excited to see. I think Tampa's defense is going to rise up, and Brady, who's the best we've ever seen in this month and in February, I think you're going to see him elevate to another level, and they're going to play like they've been playing the last 3 or 4 weeks.
I want to talk about the young quarterbacks, because the most interesting game to me is Buffalo and Baltimore. Who do you think, frankly, who do you think matters more to their team's success? Can Buffalo do it better without a huge game from Josh Allen, or Baltimore without a huge game from Lamar?
Buffalo's offensive personnel without either of their quarterbacks, Buffalo's offensive personnel is better. But Baltimore's personnel on defense is better. So we say, okay, if you said who's the better team, I think Buffalo overall is the better team, but I'd take Baltimore's defense and Buffalo's offense if you remove the quarterbacks. And if you put them both in, I'm still taking Buffalo's defense and Buffalo's offense instead of Baltimore's. Here's why. Is if it was a guy who had no movement that was a stiff in the pocket, and I don't mean it mean, but if you're playing Phillip Rivers, who doesn't move much, then I'd advantage Baltimore, obviously. But Josh Allen can move. I mean, the truth is he's a monster arm, Pat Mahomes, big physical body who can move. He can kill you with his feet, and that's a problem for Baltimore. And even though Tannehill's got movement, Josh Allen's far better on the perimeter than he is. And then on the other side, and if you make him one-dimensional, he can still kill you with his arm. We've seen it. He's a MVP candidate. Lamar was phenomenal last week. But if I'm Leslie Frazier looking at what I saw last week and what he does when he's at his best, when he's two-dimensional, you're hosed. He's as dynamic as there is in a league. You have to sell out Deshaun McDermott and Leslie Frazier too. I'm going to take my chances. I'm going to be a passive aggressive on the rush. I am going to put an extra guy down the entire game. I'm going to make him beat man coverage, dropping back, putting his foot in the ground and throwing it. Now, it's easier said than done. But when you over-pursue or get a little too anxious, he makes you miss, and that's where he creates problems. They are going to try to run him. But if you put a guy on him every time he comes down that line on the inside zone read, you got to hit him. You got to put a body on him. Even when he hands the ball off, you got to hit him. I'm going to make Lamar beat me from that area. And if he can beat me from there, God bless him. Then we win. I know Josh Allen can beat me from there. Buffalo's defense can be run on. So you've got to help your rush defense and say, I'm going to take my pass coverage against their pass protection and the passer and see if he can throw for 320 and complete 70% of his balls. And we've never seen him in this sub-cold weather, Lamar Jackson, outdoors in freezing cold temperatures, and the wind can be blowing sideways in Buffalo. I know Josh Allen can handle it. I love Lamar Jackson. Advantage Buffalo. I like the Bills. I think they're the better team, and I think Leslie Frazier's smart enough and Sean McDermott not to let Lamar Jackson repeat what he did last week. If he can, then we're going to have one hell of an AFC championship game against those two quarterbacks.
Sean, we always return to the 49ers, and Robert Saleh has taken the New York Jets job. Good luck to him. It feels like that's a you're-going-to-need-it situation, but it's not a bad situation, that's for sure. Meanwhile, the next defensive coordinator for the 49ers, do you think that call comes from inside the house, or might they be looking outside?
Well, I think you look at there's people to look at, but if you got a D'Amico Ryans, why not? I mean, he's highly regarded. There are a lot of people that think he's on his way up the ladder in the next couple years to be a head coach. I mean, he is so held in such regard here. Was a good player, an assistant coach. They love him here in Houston. Heck, there was even whispers, heck, bring D'Amico Ryans back if you can. Well, Robert Saleh, well, it's going to be tough. The Jets got a great leader. I don't think you have to look very far to hire your next defensive coordinator, then start to focus on getting people healthy and putting the other guys together, the other staff members that you may end up losing. But I think it's right there in house. You'll get a guy that's got a good mix of coaches he's been with on the aggressive side and understand how to teach zone. I think D'Amico Ryans is going to be a head coach in the league, and I think defensive coordinator is the next. He's ready, and it's time, and I think he'll do a great job.
And on that note, what is it like to wake up in the morning in the city of Houston knowing James Harden is no longer there?
Well, peace, happiness, recognizing that other guys are actually going to get involved. And while the team's not more talented, the team's better. His teammates deserve better. You lose a great talent, but you also lose a bad teammate, and a horrible leader. Good luck to him. I hope it turns out well. But they're not winning an NBA title. Okay, I'm just telling you, I don't believe it's going to happen. In 3 years, maybe we'll talk about it. I don't believe it's happening this year. We'll see if they can keep it together. You're going to have to do a lot of babysitting on that team. This city does not care. They are glad he's gone. And just a year ago, they loved him. But when he threw his teammates under the bus, I think there was a lot of respect that was a problem. And I think they're going to end up being happier, too.
Wow, that's just a fancy way of saying, here's a boot in your ass.
Yeah, well, he you know what? Self-inflicted by him. He brought that on. Great scorer. But when you do that to teammates, you know, you could toss fans or whatever. You could do whatever you want. But when you start to tie, you could throw us media under the bus. Who cares? But when you decide to throw teammates that way and play the old, I did everything I could. No, you heard what Shaq said about him. Couldn't agree more. No, you didn't do everything you could because you don't have a ring. And he's got as many rings as I do. Far more talented, but got as many rings as I do as far as NBA titles go. And I imagine it's going to stay like that for a while. But Coach Silas deserved better as well. He's a hell of a guy. You could see there was a sigh of relief. And, you know, good. Let Brooklyn take on those two headaches with Kyrie and him together. Hopefully KD knows how to babysit, too, because he's going to have to.
Sean Salisbury, I heard a little rumor it's going to be you and me doing a show on Monday to wrap up the NFL divisional round and talk about a little bit of basketball before the Warriors and Lakers. So you and me on Monday? Is that what's going on?
I am with you for 4 hours. I'm there just to – I'm carrying your golf clubs, brother, and I'm just going to be there and watch you do your thing and listen and assist you any way you need me to.
Oh, stop it. You drew the short straw. Lucky for you.
No, I'm good.
We'll talk to you on Monday, man. Thank you very much.
I appreciate you guys. Thank you very much. Have a good weekend.
Sean Salisbury here on 95.7 The Game. Yes, Ray and Matt, three-day weekend for you tough workers. Well done. Way to negotiate.
Part A.
If they didn't want us to take it off, they wouldn't have asked us.
By part A, I mean I'm going to sit at home.
The only thing I can tell you about a company holiday is the only thing better than taking it right here and today is putting it in the bank. A little rainy day. I'm banking that bad boy, and we'll worry about that another time. Not to mention, Monday's going to be a great show. Again, we got Warriors and Lakers, and we're going to be coming out of a wild divisional round where I can tell you guys, there's only one guarantee that you can pretty much make in sports. One upset is coming. That's how the divisional round works. That's why it really is maybe one of the best weekends of football of the entire year. And I don't know where it's coming from. But Cleveland, I'm looking at you to go to Arrowhead and shock the world.
Wow.
And I tell you what, betting on the best defense left in the conversation is a good way to spend some of that betting money. The Rams against the Packers isn't as fait accompli as you would think it would be. That is going to be interesting, too. Somebody's getting upset. I don't know
are
who.
You, hold on. Are you picking the Browns? Is that what I heard?
No, I can't because of the rule of 7-1 or better dictates that the Kansas City Chiefs will be advancing. But if anyone wants to spit in the eye of that rule, maybe it's Kevin Stefanski putting the band back together. Hey, look, let it happen. Here, give me chaos from here on out.
The Rams one as a concept makes more sense to me. I'm gonna be the sissy in this situation. I'm gonna chicken out and take the Tampa upset. Because look, somebody had to be favored there, and New Orleans is favored. So the Bucs winning is an upset, and I just feel like Tom Brady finding his way into being an underdog is unfair.
If you're betting him, but the one thing that makes me like the Saints is the fact that they're not the Saints you usually expect. They stop people from scoring.
Yeah.
And I think this is the kind of round you're playing at home. You know, there's nothing about that game other than are you better than they are? And I think their defense is profoundly better than Tampa's offense is. And I think their offense, even if Taysom Hill doesn't play, their offense is still at least as good as Tampa's, probably a little better. I like the chalk there more than I like it in any other game.
Sorry, you think the Saints' offense is at least as good as Tampa's, probably better?
No. I think it is. I think New Orleans' offense is very, very good. Alvin Kamara can't be tackled by humans. That's an advantage.
Did I just watched them this last week not look particularly good against the Bears.
They weren't extra crispy.
Yeah, that may be coloring my opinion, but I don't know. You're right. The defense is spectacular. But, boy, that betting, you know, predicting that game based on New Orleans defense is assuming that Tom Brady can't produce better results than others in a playoff game, which just I've done that enough times in my life, I guess.
Right. It's not a bet you've done well on in the past, so you might not want to start making it now. I think we got a lot of interesting happening this weekend in the NFL, and we're going to have interesting in that New Orleans and Tampa Bay game, but I also think that that game lends itself to revealing its outcome earlier in the game than any other game on the slot, because the first team getting to the older quarterback with only four down linemen is going to win that game. I just think it's that simple. Are you getting to Brady with four, or are they getting to Breeze with four? First team to answer that question wins that football game. I think it will reveal itself early on, where maybe the outcome of Rams, Packers, Ravens, Bills, it's a little hard to see early. I think that's a clear indicator, though, again, because you got quarterbacks who got one gear.
Yeah, I think Rams, Packers could be interesting early, too, because I think you'll see pretty quickly if the Rams defense is able to do to Green Bay what they've been doing to other people. Because that's kind of the question there, right? Like, it's hard to picture a world where that game's a shootout and the Rams win.
It's interesting stuff, man. These are good times. We're going to talk a little bit about this with our pal Nick Wright, who's going to join us in just a little bit. But we're really bringing Nick on to talk about Harden, the end of an era, what's going to be happening next in Brooklyn. And we'll dive into the Warriors and see what he thinks about all that, too. You love to hate him. Well, stick around, because he's coming up next. Nick Wright here on 95.7 The Game. Also, Damon Ratto and Kolsky, we're proud to be brought to you by Fremont Bank. Fremont Bank, full-service banking, no compromises. Our Exergen temperature check tells us that it's 66, partly cloudy, down in San Jose.
Now back to Damon, Ratto, and Kolsky on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome, welcome. Great to have you here on 95.7 The Game. It's great to say hello to an old friend, Nick Wright. Nick and I basically met arguing about James Harden. That's kind of how we met, really. I would go on his show when he was a host in Houston. He's been coming on my show here in the Bay Area forever, and now he continues to come on, and we appreciate that. With Damon Ratto and Kolsky, Nick Wright from Fox Sports joins us to talk about the ending to the conversation that kind of began it for us. Nick, how you doing?
You know, just if I may for a moment, it is a pleasure to be back on. It is a pleasure to talk to Ray Ratto. It is a pleasure to talk to Kolsky. It is an obligation to talk to you, Damon. But I must say, I thought I was banned because I hadn't been on in so long. And then I realized, oh, no, you just stopped inviting me when the Warriors went in the tank and LeBron won a title. It's like, oh, you didn't want to talk to me. But now, like, the Warriors got some life back and Harden's a mess, so I can be back home. But it's good to talk to my friends. How are you guys?
Thank you so much for joining us. You're just a hard man to pin down these days. So many media obligations, Let's be honest. But look, at what point, Nick, did you realize that an ugly ending was going to be the only ending available for the Rockets and Harden?
When he was flaunting that he was out, you know, in Atlanta and then Vegas while his teammates were at training camp in the midst of a pandemic. Like, at that point, it was like, okay, so this guy pretty clearly, you know, is daring the Rockets to do something. And I went after him a bit, and you're right, I had been one of his bigger defenders. But then the season started, and I think he had 37-14 in the first game. The first three games of the year, I'm like, okay, the guy can have a Lobos tequila IV drip and still lead the league in scoring. Who cares? And then he did the Vince Carter in Toronto for the last 2 weeks, which is he just quit. He just flat quit on his team. It's like he used the first three games to show the entire NBA, oh, no, I'm still awesome. And then once he did that, he did everything he could to get them to trade him. And for him, I suppose the means justified the ends because, or the ends justified the means, pardon me, because he got literally exactly what he wanted. And your old buddy Kevin Durant got exactly what he wanted, which is more help, because God knows KD never has enough help.
Did you assume when you heard that the deal had finally been done, but before you heard what the return was, did you expect it to be Kyrie Irving? And if you didn't, did the trade meet your sort of specifications for the maximum haul that the Rockets could get?
So I didn't expect it to be Kyrie because I was told the Rockets didn't have interest in Kyrie. And at this point,
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.